Set your course for the Huff
Takes Podcast.
Welcome back to Hoth Takes. I'm Eric Geller.
I'm Grace Seegers.
And I'm Haley Bird-Wilt.
And we're happy to have Haley back with us. And this time, we're looking at the Star Wars Tales series of shorts that that Disney is producing. Folks might have seen that they recently dropped the trailer for the next season of Tales. And instead of Tales of the Jedi, they're going this time with Tales of the Empire. So we figured with the Tales shorts kind of branching out to cover this new aspect of Star Wars, what are some other Star Wars villains that we would like to see explored in a future season if they come back to the theme of villains in these shorts? Before we get there, though, just to kind of set the scene, I'm curious what you two think about the trailer and the revelation that we're going to be seeing stories focused on Morgan Elsbeth, the Night Sister from Mandalorian and Ahsoka, and of course Barriss Offee, fan favorite character from Clone Wars, who was corrupted by the dark side, framed Ahsoka for murder, and ended up arrested by the Jedi Temple Guard, who would go on to become the Grand Inquisitor because Star Wars is one big soap opera. Curious what you think about the choice of those two characters and what this might give us with their stories.
Well, it's kind of like Star Wars giveth and Star Wars taketh away for me, because I am interested in seeing Barriss and what she's been up to, but I also just could not care less about Morgan Elsbeth. I find her deeply boring and absolutely the worst possible avenue for exploring the Witches of Dathomir, which we can get into more later. But, you know, I will happily watch the Barriss episodes, but the Morgan Elsbeth episodes, I can really I can leave them. I don't even really want to take them. I can just leave them.
I feel the same way, but it's more like a dispositional problem. I don't like dwelling on evil. I think when we had the David French episode and we talked about the Darth Bane. Yes, I had the same problem where I read the book. I was like, I hate this. And I find neither of those characters very redeemable or even conflicted. And so during the trailer, it's like all these things about, it's like the words popping up like rage, anger, suffering. And I'm like, this doesn't sound super fun. First of all, I don't have that much time in my life for watching things right now. But second of all, it doesn't sound like something I would enjoy.
I did notice that was the whatever
Yoda quote. It was the
Yoda fear quote. Leads to anger. Anger leads to hate.
Which hate I'm leads sure. To suffering. I'm sure story wise, it's written in a way to be instructive. At least that's what it seemed to be. I'm sure it's artful and people worked hard on it. I just it's personally not my cup of tea. I did think the score was really intense. I liked the music and the trailer.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Grace in terms of being interested in the Barriss Offee side of things, not being interested in the Morgan Elsbeth side of things. I will say, I think it's everybody watching the Barriss, the final arc of the original Clone Wars with Barriss turning to the dark side afterwards. Of course, the show was over. We had known by that point it was being canceled. And so there was the speculation about, will they ever revisit Clone Wars characters? And one of the big questions was, what happens to Barriss, right? Does she die in Order 66? Does she survive? Star Wars is not a franchise that likes killing off characters off screen when they can get better use of them in future stories. So I was always in the camp that said, of course she's still alive. But it makes perfect sense that you would pick her for this. I am interested to see, with her joining the Inquisitors, what does that culture, the Inquisitorious culture, look like on screen? What are those trials like as the characters get tested by Darth Vader and by the Grand Inquisitor? There's some books that have explored this, but I'm curious to see what the show does and how if it retcons the books, if it's along the same lines. So that'll be interesting. And of course, there is the irony that, Anakin captured Barriss and now he's Darth Vader, who's going to be her new master. And the Grand Inquisitor was the Temple Guard who escorted her away, and now he's going to be testing her. There's only about 8 characters in all of Star Wars, and they all go on these wonderful journeys and their lives intersect. But I don't really have too much to say about Morgan Elsbeth. I mean, yeah, I guess we're going to see some elements of the Night Sister culture and kind of picking up from General Grievous, slaughtering the Night Sisters and seeing where that led the few survivors. We're going to get Thrawn, which is cool. I have to imagine they're going to set up that relationship so that it feels more fulfilling if you watch Tales and then you watch the Ahsoka series, where they're obviously good partners. So, I mean, yeah, I think these are good characters to show the value of the Tales format of kind of a miniature anthology where you can fill in the gaps with characters who are going to matter more to other stories or just characters who fans have been wanting to hear about for a long time. So, yeah, that's cool.
Before we move on, could I have a minor off-topic complaint? Sort of off-topic. It's tangential topic. I find it kind of annoying if they are going to fill in the backstory between Morgan Elspeth and Thrawn in Tales of the Empire. And then if you watch it, be like, oh, wow, now Ahsoka makes more sense and I have so much more understanding of it. I think that's poor storytelling. You shouldn't have to watch a million interconnected things in order to appreciate the relationships between characters, as we have talked about before on this show. So that actually kind of even disposes me to like it even less, where it's, you know, perhaps, oh yeah, maybe the relationship between Thrawn and Elspeth wasn't that interesting in the Ahsoka show, but if you watch this extra show, then you'll understand more of the dynamic. Well, if you told it better the first time, then I wouldn't need to watch this extra show. So that is my mini rant right there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that's what they're going for, which is like kind of why I brought it up. But I definitely don't want folks to think I like think that that's a good storytelling technique. There are many things wrong with Ahsoka in terms of pacing and all that. But yes, I think that's a great example of like just tell the story well the first time and don't make fans wait to find out what was going on behind some of these relationships. You know, you can fill in gaps. That's fine. We see that with storytelling all the time in shared universes, but don't use this as a way to fix a previous oversight. And I think there's a chance that that's what they're trying to do here, because I don't think that the Thrawn-Morgan Elspeth relationship was necessarily got the exposition that it might have needed to matter as much as it clearly did for the characters themselves. But having said all that, We see promise in the potential for a project like Tales. It's a great way to tell stories about characters without committing to a full season or multiple seasons about them. Perhaps the Bad Batch would have been better as Tales of the Republic than an entire animated series. Who could say? But let's talk about the characters that we'd like to see in future Tales stories. And because this was just Tales of the Empire, I figured we would stick with villains for this one. But obviously, we're keen to revisit this topic in the future with other characters. I will kick things off. I looked at this as, like, following the theme of, like, Tales of the Jedi, Tales of the Empire. If we're going to rebrand again, what would be another good branding for the next season? And I came up with Tales of the Separatists. The Clone Wars era has obviously had quite a renaissance with the animated series and all the references to it in live action, but we haven't focused a lot on the villains from that era. So I figure do Tales of the Separatists and focus on two characters who get kind of short shrift, Jango Fett and General Grievous. And with Jango Fett, I'm thinking you start with whatever makes him want to become a bounty hunter. Show us him turning into the kind of person who wants to pursue that life. Then have, you know, an episode where he goes on a dangerous mission that teaches him some important lessons so that we see him growing and evolving and learning from his mistakes and becoming the cool bounty hunter that we know that he is. And then end with his first meeting with Count Dooku, where he becomes the template for the clone army so that we can see a little bit of Count Dooku in that moment setting the stage for Order 66. And we can see from Jango's perspective, like, why he wanted to take this deal other than the money, you know, other than having Boba, like, why was he at that point in his life interested in taking a slight detour to train, you know, clones for a while in secret? That can't have been an easy transition for him in his life. So that's my pitch for Jango. For Grievous, you know, there has been a lot said about how he was downgraded as a threat in a lot of the animated storytelling. I mean, in the original Clone Wars series, it's some of the most chilling stuff is watching him take out a bunch of Jedi at once. And then in the 2008 series, he's not as threatening. He's not a worthy adversary for many of his foes, except when the story demands that he succeed. Usually he's being defeated and he's slinking away. So I'm thinking, let's try to rehabilitate Grievous as a powerful villain a little bit. Let's start with his early life before his accident so that you can see that under all that kind of robotic plating and servos and all that stuff, there is an organic being who had something that they wanted to do with their life. And you know, we know from the expanded universe, and I believe this has been canonized in some like ancillary material, that Count Dooku orchestrated the accident to turn him into the Grievous that we know. So we know that that's what happens, but let's see where he is before that happens. Then we can move into, you know, the early projects that he takes on for Count Dooku behind the scenes before the Clone Wars. I think that's a really interesting time period. His accident is not like right before the Clone Wars. He's doing things in the background for Count Dooku, for the Separatists, before the Separatists are an actual thing. Let's see a little bit of that. I want to understand what the Separatists are doing in the shadows before they reveal themselves and how Grievous is a part of that. And then let's wrap up with actually the General Grievous that we've all wanted to see during the Clone Wars era this whole time, which is someone who is really quite competent, quite deadly, deserves the reputation that he gets, but never seems to actually earn in the 2008 series. So wrap up with, you know, some kind of mission. Maybe it advances the overall plot of the Clone Wars era. Maybe it doesn't, but it would show him as a cool, calculating, chilling assassin, really, that makes him the, you know, the feared person that the clones are always worried about going up against. And that would, I think, go a long way toward making him a more interesting character. So that's my pitch. I'm curious what folks think. Anybody want to critique or offer any ideas for where to take these things? We got Django, we got Grievous. What do we think?
I have always wondered, why would you agree to have millions of clones made of yourself and used for a military purpose? That just seems, you know, one or two clones, that's one thing, but millions of clones of you? That's so weird. Why would you make that decision? And, you know, sure, he gets a son out of it and presumably a lot of money, but it's just absolutely bizarre decision making. So I would perhaps be interested to know a bit more about the thinking behind, yes, I want an army made up of me, replicated millions of times, that I will train in secret.
I agree. I always wanted to know more about his like romantic backstory.
Really? That's so out of character for you, Haley. I can't believe that.
Well, as a kid, I was like, why is he like, I don't know, maybe it's a medical thing, but it just seemed like such a lonely lifestyle to have like a clone of yourself and that's it. And it's just you two against the universe. Like, what caused that?
Yeah, there's something there. There is some
who hurt him.
Trauma to unpack.
Yeah.
So maybe what makes him want to become a bounty hunter is he goes through a really bad breakup.
But I mean, it's true. A well-adjusted person does not say, I want to raise a clone of myself and also make millions of clones of myself to serve in an army and basically be cannon fodder. That's not a person who has been to a lot of therapy. That's a person who has been deeply wounded in their childhood or just generally in life.
Men will literally create a clone army of themselves, yes, instead of going to therapy.
They literally will.
They paid him for it, though, right?
I think they paid him really well. I think that's like a large part of it, is that it was easy work and it was like reliable work. And I think if you're a bounty hunter, even if you're as good as Jango Fett, it's like job by job, right? You don't necessarily, I mean, sometimes like the Hutts will put you on retainer, but I think a lot of it is like the stability of the money. All right, Grace, what do you got for us?
So I struggled with this prompt a lot, and I put a couple of things down in our show notes, which I'm not opposed to. But before I start with those ideas, when we were talking about this prompt, the only thing that I could think of, the only thing that kept coming to me was Zero the Hutt.
Yes, please.
A Zero the Hutt show. Of just Zero the Hutt with his crazy Cajun accent being a crime lord. And that was the only thing that could come to me for the longest time. So I didn't put it in our notes because I felt embarrassed by it, but I nonetheless must speak my truth. In that vein, speaking of another bounty hunter whom I love, Cad Bane, I think it would be fun to see a show of him that's kind of like the Mandalorian, but anti-hero. in Mandalorian season one, so back when it was Monster of the Week adventure rather than the serialized whatever it has become now. But basically every week follow along a different Cad Bane adventure. He doesn't need backstory. I don't want to know anything about where he came from. I don't want to know about his family life. I mean, I guess he could have a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a partner, whatever. That would actually kind of be fun if he had someone on the side that he visits on a planet every once in a while, or if his partner is also a bounty hunter. So sure, let's throw in romance. But I do not want to know anything about Cad Bane. I want him to be a gunslinger with his one-liners and his giant hat, just having a different adventure every week, true anti-hero style. And then the only other thing that I would really like to see, I am interested in seeing more Thrawn, but I feel like kind of over-Thrawned lately. Thrawn is very saturated the Star Wars market. But a character that I really love from the Thrawn books is the Watson to Thrawn's Holmes, Thrawn's friend Eli Vanto. And he's just some guy who exists to kind of be taught by Thrawn how to be a fun, clever person. It very much is like the Holmes and Watson dynamic. And I would love to see Eli doing whatever he does at this point, and see that dynamic in animation of him and Thrawn together. So those were really my ideas. One final unbaked idea I had was something that I see Haley is going to talk about later, but
don't steal it.
But so, okay, then I won't steal it.
Well, I don't really know which one it is. Can you give a hint without giving it away to the audience?
No, I'm not going to.
Okay, well, then I will jump into mine and we'll probably get to what Grace wants to discuss. So mine, Eric had like a really well-packaged like name for his Tales of the Separatists. Mine is like Tales of the Weird Little Guys. I want to hear more about the bounty hunter lady in Attack of the Clones, who I have learned from Google is named Zam Wessel, who can like shapeshift, and she has like strange voice and she like shrivels into nothing. I was always fascinated by her as a child. I want to know more about her life.
What if she's Cad Bane's girlfriend?
Ah, they really would go well together.
Yeah.
Yeah. My second one is because I really enjoyed the trade policy disputes of the Phantom Menace. I want to see more of Newt Gunray and his trade blockades. That was really fun.
Should he just be blockading a different planet in every episode?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, they took so much offense in Phantom Menace, but what if that's just, like, his culture? Is he just does trade blockades? That's what they do.
At every planet. And he makes friends along the way.
And, right, and it's, like, the blockades are generally accepted. Like, Naboo is the first planet to sort of, like, really push back, and he's genuinely, like, surprised and a little bit hurt.
What was he trying to get? He just wanted, like, tariff leverage or something?
Oh, God, you're really going to make me try to remember this. I think it's the purported purpose, even though it was all just a shell game by Darth Sidious, was they wanted to use this blockade as leverage in the Senate for, like, better tax treatment or something. It would sort of be like if you had a compound and you just, like, took, like, a, I don't know, like, a small town hostage and made the IRS, like, create a new exemption for your charity or something. That's kind of how I think about it.
In my version of it, he's like going to planets each episode and like demanding a free trade agreement with that planet for whoever he represents. and it's like the negotiation process. Clearly he starts with like hardball negotiating, but he's going to make friends along the way and he's going to make some pretty good trade deals.
So is this like kind of like NAFTA, the anthology series? Like it's just like a new trade agreement every time and we get to learn about like whatever the goods are that are being like sort of taxed and like what the import rates should be in the levies and things like that?
Yeah, I want more like bureaucracy in Star Wars. Like you need like the unions for the various like trade like groups on those planets to also like be involved in these talks, I think it would be a delight.
Maybe we could see, you know, in Attack of the Clones when all of the different weird shadowy organizations get together with Count Dooku, but the Trade Federation is there, and then the Banking Clan is also there.
Yes, yes.
Maybe we see more about the interactions between the Trade Federation and the Banking Clan and how they got to be allies. And, you know, it seems like Trade Federation, super free trade, super free market, and Banking Clan may be more of a centralized economic structure. How do they become friends with that tension in their economic philosophy? I see it. I see your vision, Haley.
I think that you could have, like, can Newt Gunray have it all, right? Like, he wants to win the best tax policies, but he also wants to win friends. And sometimes you can't have both.
I think what would really, like, ground the show is to have Newt Gunray be, like, pure ideologue, like fighting hard for whatever his, like, goal is. And then you have, like, a public notary official who's there to, like check these deals and like sign them, I guess, with the little stamp for the Empire or something, the Republic at the time, and that person is just like over it. And to have them like sort of be the foil for Newt Gunray, I think it would work.
So you have Newt Gunray as the enthusiastic trade policy activist, and then there's the notary who's maybe like the kind of the deadpan sidekick. Is that kind of how you're seeing it?
Yeah, like the Jim. It's like the Jim and the Dwight.
Okay.
Mm. We can also give Newt Gunray a romantic partner because this is Haley's show.
Yeah. No, you're right. Maybe that will be like his most contentious trade deal yet. They fall in love.
The prenup. He's got to negotiate the tax policy for the prenup.
There's no embargo on love.
And there,
oh, no.
I'll add that sci-fi has a very storied history of really supporting this kind of story. Hober Mallow, first real trade policy enthusiast in Isaac Asimov's Foundation book. Excellent storytelling. I think we should have more of it. But the other ones, and I suspect these two are what Grace was referring to, one of them. I'm not sure which one because she didn't give me a hint. I want Darth Jar Jar, which is probably not what she's talking about. I think she likes the second one, but we'll find out. I want Darth Jar Jar. And I don't have much like intellectually to back that up. It's just vibes. And I realized it would have to be something probably bigger than like an animated short, like little special thing. So that would really change the fabric of the whole saga.
You want a feature film. You want a live action feature film.
I want a trilogy, a pre-prequel trilogy. okay, anyway, on to the next one. And I feel like this is the one.
This was the one that I really liked.
I really enjoyed when Taika Waititi had those like stormtroopers talking to each other in that episode of The Mandalorian, and they were like goofing around. Except when they punched the baby, Baby Yoda. I really didn't like that. But the rest, like, the back and forth was really funny. And I think what Clone Wars, the animated series, did really well was, like, sometimes it showed the droids being hilarious in the background. But they always got, like, swallowed up by the adventures and hijinks going on. I feel like they're such tragic figures. They just, like, come into existence one day and they're, like, they have to go fight. And they have such, like, a losing, like... They don't have that many... I'm talking about the Roger droids. Like, they don't have much, like, battle capability. They just, like, are struggling. And I really think it would be nice to have, a droid perspective show saga special. It would be fun.
So I completely agree with this. And what got me thinking about this separately was a few days ago, Eric and I were talking about Star Trek Lower Decks, which is a TV show about the sort of grunt workers on starships. And I think you could definitely do that kind of story with the Roger droids. I think you're right, Haley. Something that always bothered me is how they're very much played for laughs, but treated as if they don't have sentience, but it's kind of ambiguous on whether they do. And they are a very tragic but also very hilarious figures. And I do think that there is room for something that explores the humanity, for lack of a better word, of the protocol droids, or not protocol droids, the whatever those kinds of droids are.
There's got to be a deserter. There's got to be a droid who deserted. And I want to
know
like
the clone.
Like the clone. And they meet each other one day.
So I love this. I think it's a great idea because the whole premise of the Clone Wars show, and especially the Bad Batch, is looking at the clones themselves as people who are caught up in these events and have feelings about what's going on around them. But the Clone Wars TV show really does treat the droids as soulless for the most part. And I think part of that is the kids have to be okay seeing them shot all the time. And, you know, the droid version of killed, basically. But there are some episodes where they have emotions, right? There is actually, like, one episode where Anakin, like, bursts onto the deck of a Separatist cruiser and is, like, taking out the droids. And there's, like, a couple of them. And one of them is like, there's three of us and only one of him. We can take him. And one of them is like, it won't matter. And then they all get, like, cut down. And there's, like, another one where they're marching on some planet and Grievous, I think, is there, or someone is there. And they're, like, running out of power. And, like, they're complaining. And they're like, we need to charge. And Grievous is like, we need to keep marching. And one of them just, like, kind of falls on the ground and powers off. And it's kind of a little bit, like, it's a tearjerker of a moment for sure. The show very clearly did not pay close attention to the, like, real, true, like, weighty issues of, like, droid sentience, because it never could decide whether it wanted you to, like, feel bad for them or, like, at least see them as having an inner soul, or just see them as machines that is, like, ethically safe to just destroy them and our heroes are not morally compromised by, like, wanton destruction of droids. And I think an anthology short that kind of pulls that apart a little bit and looks at them as, I mean, they do seem to have some degree of sentience. I think that would be, like, a really nice counterpart to everything that we've seen over the past, like, you know, gosh, almost 20 years at this point with the clones.
Yeah, I think that's probably why we never will get a show like this, because it would introduce some moral ambiguity that would make us look back upon our heroes like, should they have been cutting down droids left and right? I don't know.
I want to go back to so first of all, I love the Zam Wessel idea because I think it's another opportunity to almost make it about more than just her. Like, look at the underworld that she exists in, particularly at this pivotal moment in the galaxy right before the Clone Wars breaks out. I also think that maybe Zam Wessel and Cad Bane could have a romantic relationship. They're both bounty hunters operating in kind of the same space, working for probably many of the same people. And I think, you know, there could be a crossover between maybe the two of their stories. Maybe they have a meet cute. Where they're both going after the same prey. I think that would be very fun.
Yeah, I really like the idea of maybe incorporating our bounty hunter ideas. And honestly, this would take place, if Zam Wessel was alive, this would take place when Jango was on the job as well. So if we just made it like a more general bounty hunter story, then we could have all of our bounty hunters that we have singled out as interesting and look at their rise and fall and situationship entanglements.
The way to do that is just like Seinfeld structure. Like, they all meet on someone's spaceship and they chat, and they go to, like, you know, the diner in between their jobs. We don't even have to see the jobs.
It's like a show about nothing. But it happening in between a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I would like it if they came into the room, like, very clearly having just finished a job. Like, Cad Bane is, like,
Blaster
wiping the slime of some unidentified monster off of his armor. And, like, Zam Wessel is, like, you know, there's, like, blood on her, like, cheek, and she's, like, cleaning it off in the bathroom or something. Who would be the Kramer in this situation?
Who's that, like, alligator-looking guy?
Bossk?
Yeah. Is he around the same time? Isn't
yeah,
he
is. Yeah. Remember that he was part of the group that worked with young Boba Fett in Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And then that would also bring some emotional weight. Do the thing that I just said I didn't like, where it adds context for another show.
He'll be like, I knew your father. We were friends.
I'm curious, Grace, if there is anything that could get you to want to see more Thrawn at this point. I mean, there's some stuff in the books before he joins the Empire that establishes that he's very worried about this, like, this race of aliens that kind of exists out in the unknown regions and sort of signs up with the Empire with the understanding that Palpatine will help him protect his own people from this other group. Would you be interested in Thrawn content that is not just like Thrawn on the hunt for the Empire, but maybe Thrawn like with his own people?
Yeah, I think I would be interested in that. And more specifically, I'd be interested in learning more about the Chiss, which is where Thrawn comes from. So if we actually take Thrawn out of it altogether and look at his home world and what that's about, and Eli, the character I mentioned before, actually goes kind of does like a foreign exchange student thing where he goes and hangs out with the Chiss. So we could follow him as he is learning this unfamiliar world. And then that way we could get kind of like all the fun stuff of Thrawn without the, as I said, he's been a bit oversaturated, I think, lately, where he's just in a lot of things and it's almost like Darth Vader, where when I saw in the Tales of the Empire trailer how it ends with Darth Vader, it's like, this guy again, he's everywhere. I mean, Darth Vader is great, don't get me wrong, I like Darth Vader, but it's almost like there's a risk of overusing him, so he kind of, in my view at least, can lose his potency when he's in too many things. And I think that's the path that Thrawn is going down right now.
I kind of agree in the sense that it's like I enjoy him when it's like a full story is happening. Like in Rebels, it's great, and I can't, like, to be fair, there's only one season of Ahsoka, but it also, like, when you see him in this, I don't know, it just feels like, oh, plus he was in the he was name dropped in the Mandalorian. All this stuff is like the Thrawn universe it hasn't lived up to all the hype within the universe. And so, like, my exhaustion with it is just like, well, I feel like we should see him doing stuff if everybody's going to be talking about him all the time. And we kind of do, but the whole season is him, like, building up to doing stuff. We don't actually, like, find out much.
I mean, that's definitely the problem with the season of Ahsoka, because you got to introduce him because there's going to be a movie about him. So you got to familiarize audience with him, even though I guarantee you most of the people who go to the theaters to see a Star Wars movie will not, or they're not Disney Plus subscribers. They haven't watched Ahsoka, even if they are. So, but you've got to introduce him, but you can't yet give him the chance to really have a big triumph that would get people in the theater to go, that's the Thrawn I remember from the Tim Zahn books. That is a classic Thrawn moment, outsmarting the heroes, right? Like, that's kind of what we're all here for, in a sense, is like, you're bringing back Thrawn, show us Thrawn doing the thing that he's unique for, which is like actually being able to outsmart the good guys by studying them and understanding their weaknesses. But the show couldn't give us that yet, because that's only going to happen in these big set piece battles that just weren't possible when he was stranded somewhere else. So I agree. There's been a lot of Thrawn and references to Thrawn without the right conditions for him to shine. And I would say if you're sick and tired of Thrawn now, Grace, just, you know, buckle up, because that movie's coming. I'm sure season two of Ahsoka's coming. And I just have to hope that that's when we actually get to start to see the real payoff of why they brought Thrawn into live action in the first place.
I forgot about the movie.
Is the movie going to be about the aliens?
No, I think it's going to be basically the canon version of the Thrawn trilogy climax, which is the New Republic forces defeating Thrawn. That's my assumption. It would be very cool if they took it in a different direction and brought those aliens in, but they haven't even hinted that the live action Thrawn is still worried about those aliens, although canonically I think he probably must be, unless they were defeated off screen somewhere. But yeah, I don't think they're going to show up.
Well, I only read one of the newer books about Thrawn, and the aliens in that one are like hinted at as like this galaxy threatening force, like everybody should be afraid of them if they knew about them. And I feel like it would be a really cool movie if it was like kind of a scary first contact alien movie and he has to like deal with them, but I guess that's not gonna happen. But maybe it could.
I think it would be kind of cool if they had him getting ready to face off with the New Republic, and then the aliens showed up, and they had to, like, kind of team up a little bit. I mean, it would be...
That would be a delight.
That would be cool.
It would be cool, but do you guys think that it would fit with the Star Wars ethos? Like, it's not always black and white. We've seen gray areas in Star Wars, but would that be a little too much, like the good guys and the bad guys teaming up?
I think it would be, I think it would feel very fresh.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We're used to, in Star Wars is known for cool aliens. That's like its thing since 1977, cool aliens. But despite being known for cool aliens, we'd never really had a first contact situation. So a first contact situation, I think, first of all, would just be really new and different for Star Wars. And then I agree with Haley. I'm sorry if I cut you off before. I do think that it would just feel interesting to have the team up moment of enemy of my enemy and we'll go back to fighting after this. I think that would be a really interesting direction to take it, that they're probably not going to take it because that wouldn't really make sense for setting up the New Republic sequel, whatever.
You'd also have to pay us royalties.
Yeah, they would. They would.
That's true.
In fact,
that's true.
Yeah, call me up, Disney. We're giving you free advice and ideas right now and getting nothing from it. So
I think he should be in like in a New Republic prison. And then the aliens show up and they're just like so sophisticated and scary and nobody can communicate with them. And they're like, this is a problem for that guy named Thrawn. Let's pull him out and like team him up with someone who can like keep him under control. It's Ezra. And they have to like, it's like Arrival and they're translating.
That's such a good idea, Haley. And then to have Ezra kind of be like Thrawn's minder.
Yeah.
And it's a very... like, we're not so different, you and I, situation of mutual grudging respect. And then also, if we could have some acknowledgement whatsoever that they were trapped together for God knows how long on a starship, that would also be pretty sweet. I think this could be a really cool idea.
I mean, so first of all, I think if Thrawn doesn't die at the end of this, the Dave Filoni movie, and he is captured, I think a really excellent way to pay off what Tim Zahn has been doing in the books with the alien race is to do exactly that, to have them invade. The New Republic is not ready, and Mon Mothma is sitting there, and she's reading the reports of the different sectors getting captured, and she's like, there's only one person who could help us, and they cut to like the prison and the door opening, and he's like, you know, I understand you're having some problems with the aliens, Chancellor Mothma. And, you know, it's the Mads Mikkelsen in his full glory. And they sort of are like,
Lars,
yeah, we need your help.
Mads, it's Lars.
Is this Lars? Okay, it's Lars. but, and then the other thing I was going to say is, so I've been watching, I don't know if you either of you have seen the show White Collar. I think that the Ezra being Thrawn's minder, like kind of the straight-laced, like, I mean, he's kind of a goofy character, but like he's kind of the New Republic's like representative there in the Thrawn relationship. They let Thrawn out because they need his help, but Ezra has to like keep him on the straight and narrow. That's basically the plot of White Collar, which is that an FBI agent has a criminal, you know, forger and thief released from prison so that he can be a consultant to help them solve white collar crimes. And I mean, maybe it's just because I'm watching the show right now, but suddenly that is the only thing I want, is I want Ezra to be Thrawn's minder as they deal with like wild and wacky, overwhelming.
Yeah,
either mysteries or alien invasion. And then afterwards, it's like, do we keep this going? Right. Like, I think that's a great way to bring the aliens in.
I mean, you can have both. You could have like a really mysterious like the aliens are like stealing whole planets or something and they've got to like figure out who's behind it.
Oh, so then it's like there's like an X-Files aspect to it. It's almost like it's White Collar plus X-Files plus Star Wars.
So this is actually a bit of a bummer now because I'm getting excited for this show that does not exist.
We are just created.
I'm like, ooh, this is so many opportunities, so much potential.
Someone call Dave Filoni for us. We're ready to be the writer's room.
And I will say that there is precedent for the alien first contact invasion story in Star Wars, because the Expanded Universe had a 19-book series about an alien race that was like immune to the Force showing up and just basically ripping through the New Republic, you know, destroying, killing a lot of Jedi, and the remnants of the Empire actually did start working with the New Republic to push them back and defeat them. And it was a pivotal moment in the expanded universe in terms of what happens with Han and Leia's children and Luke's son, and, you know, Chewbacca died. I mean, it was a big, big moment in the Star Wars story. And the draw, I think that the basic pitch of it is like, people show up from beyond the galaxy who have power that nobody's ever seen before, and it kind of resets all the alignments in the galaxy, and people have to team up in ways they never expected before. There's a little bit of a hard sci-fi element that I don't know that Star Wars is ready for, but I would sure love to see it if they canonize that.
See, here's the thing, Eric. It's not going to happen. So let's just say, yeah, let's do hard sci-fi. Let's throw some hard sci-fi into our Star Wars. Because that would
Grace,
be cool.
We just need to really hone our 1 minute elevator pitch.
I don't know.
Spend a lot of time around the Disney studios.
I don't know if this can all be condensed into 1 minute of. So, hey, you know Thrawn? Let's go into backstory. Now you know the backstory. Let's talk about the future. But I am excited about this hypothetical story. I think of all of our TV show ideas, I think we have some real winners here. But this is the one where were I an executive, I would be like, yeah, let's put some money on the table for this one.
I'm just trying to come up with like pun titles for a show like Thrawn, like Thrawn Without a Trace, or like, you know, something just like playing on the names.
Eric,
or
that's
like
terrible.
Or like what about wait. Okay, hear me
Thrawn
out.
In 60 seconds. That's our pitch, is Thrawn in 60 seconds.
Oh, that's true. But don't you think that like Bridger and Thrawn is like Rizzolian Isles, or like one of those like classic network procedurals? I think it would be what we've all been waiting for from Star Wars.
Bridger and Thrawn.
You're right, though. This would have to be one of those things where it's like there's 20 episodes per season, and a season every October.
It would be a monster of the week. Yeah, it would be an old school TV show. It would not be one of these stupid 10 episodes, 25 minutes each.
Seven
like,
episodes.
God, I can't even, don't even get me started.
We're
going to
make TV good.
Let's make TV TV again.
That's correct. By the way, Grace, I have to ask, you did pitch a Cad Bane show, and so I just want to know, you mentioned the hat. Will it get bigger in every episode?
actually, infinitesimally bigger. So you don't notice that it's getting bigger. It happens so slowly. And because we're reinventing TV, this is going to be 20 episodes with some good filler episodes, of course. And so at the end of the season, you look and you're like, whoa, that hat is ginormous. How did it get that big? It hasn't been that big this whole time, has it? No, it hasn't.
Does it reset every season, or does it just continue?
That is a great question.
I think it continues to get bigger. I think that you start the show and he's wearing the hat next to like a character, like a droid or something. It doesn't really matter. But then at the end of the season, that character comes back. They love doing that on TV. But you can tell from referencing the previous time he showed up that the hat is bigger, because you can see for scale, oh, that droid is half as big as it was before in comparison to the hat.
This would cause a lot of conspiracy theories. People would be like, it's the perspective, it's the lighting, I don't believe in the growing hat.
What if he started with a small hat? Like the kind of hat we don't like.
Like a doll's hat? Like he's wearing a little doll's hat?
Yeah, like a little tiny doll's hat.
I don't like that.
That would give us room to grow, though. Then we could have 10 seasons, and at the end of the 10th season, how you know it's done is because his hat is the right size.
You're gonna have to hire a mathematician to do the like calculations on like a sustainable growth rate for the hat, and like when it becomes too heavy for his head or like too unwieldy for filming.
What if the hat is another creature, and we think it's a hat, but really it's a creature, and that's why it keeps growing?
No.
Talk about a first contact situation when he first realizes that he's wearing another organism.
It's like a parasite, but it's a hat.
It's like those little guys that swim around near the sharks.
Yes.
Oh, the hat is, it is a mutually beneficial relationship. So I know what the hat gives him. He looks cool. What does he give the hat?
A nice head.
It's like connected to his scalp.
Yeah, maybe it eats his thoughts or something.
He can't take off the hat.
Well, if there were 10 seasons of this, it would give the hat room to grow.
could have a name. Wait. This is my last really ridiculous idea. So, love triangle with the hat.
No.
And what's her face?
Sam Wessel.
Sam Wessel deserves better. I'm just going to say that.
I'm not saying that she'll get with the hat. I'm just saying both Cad and the hat love her.
And Sam Wessel deserves like a Forbidden Jedi romance. That's my opinion. She needs like a good guy.
The hat is a Jedi. That's my pitch. No!
The hat has the Force.
That's why Cad Bane's reflexes are so good. That's what he's getting from the hat.
That's why he can shoot so accurately.
That's right. Talk about giving me cover, because it's on his head, so it's covering his head. Okay, I think that we've established that we have some really good ideas here. Are we confident that the Thrawn Ezra team up White Collar X-Files mystery show is our number? Like, if we were going to meet Bob Iger in an elevator tomorrow, is that what we would pitch?
Yeah, I think Thrawn in 60 Seconds is what we pitch.
Okay, you're really attached to that title.
I would pitch my trade policy Newt Gunray Travels the Universe serial.
No, that is cool. I would pitch that with you. If Bob Iger did not like the Thrawn pitch and was
We would
like,
go to trade policy. We would
Then we
pivot.
Go to trade policy.
They're definitely very different. If you think about the quadrants for television, you know, of like a four quadrant TV show hits all the corners, gets the biggest audience. Those are definitely two shows that go through very different quadrants. So we would really be covering. If he's not interested in one, it's almost guaranteed. I think it's safe to say this, Bob, if you're listening. It's almost guaranteed that he's going to go for the other one.
I think we would be good at this.
True. If there's one thing I've learned from this episode is that we're great writers, TV writers, and they should pay us. To do this.
For talking about it, not doing the writing.
We're writers. We could do it.
Yeah, I mean, we have a show notes document. Some of this is written down. I mean, that's technically, I think we own the copyright on this material now. All right, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Hoth Takes. If you want to share your thoughts about the episode or suggest topics for future shows, you can feel free to email us at hothtakes@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter. We are at Hoth Takes. I'm Eric Geller on Twitter. Grace is Grace_Seegers, and Haley is Burdenator. Haley made our wonderful logo and banner art, and I edited the show and put together our music. Although, as always, for legal purposes, we do want to note that all Star Wars music and sound effects are the intellectual property of Lucasfilm. You can find a complete archive of past episodes on our website, hottakes.wordpress.com. And if you like the show, share it with a friend. You can find Hot Takes on all the major podcasting platforms, including Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. All right, we'll see you next time. May the Force be with you.